Hi, thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This is your host, Mark Day. Today I would like for us to think about Psalm 2. I'll read it starting at verse 1 and going through the end at verse 12. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree, the Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Verse 10. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. This is an interesting psalm. It's a messianic psalm. The test of a messianic psalm is that it's quoted in the New Testament as referring to Jesus, and of course this one is quoted in the New Testament in Luke 24, verses 27 and 44, referring to Jesus as the Messiah. So it's a messianic psalm, and it's also a psalm of David that's referred to as well in Luke 24. But the psalm records these voices, these four voices, voices of rage from the nations. There's a voice of peace in heaven. There's a voice of victory referring to the Son of God, the Messiah. And there's a voice of warning where the kings of the earth are warned. So let's look at this psalm starting in verse 1. It says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? So David's asking a question that we don't necessarily need to answer, right? Nations throughout the ages have rebelled against God, have raged against God. The nations rebel, even though God has provided for their basic needs. He's guided the nations, kept the nations alive. He's even sent a Savior to bring eternal life to the nations. But the Bible records humanity's foolish rebellion against the will of their Creator. The kings and the minor rulers of the earth conspire together and break the boundaries that God has established for their own good. We see that in the Old Testament, and we see that in the New Testament, and we see it in the world we live in today. The picture in verse 3 is of a wild and raging animal. It says, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. It's as if this animal is tied up with cords, but the attempt to break the cords is futile. Freedom and peace for that animal will come only when it submits to the one who has authority over it. The point here is that we, human beings, will only find true freedom when we submit to the will of the one who has created us. Freedom without authority is anarchy, and anarchy destroys everything in its path. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. They don't want authority over them. They want to be the ones in supreme authority. But actually, authority is what releases and develops creativity, whether it's a musician, an athlete, a surgeon. For example, in music, there are certain precepts and boundaries that must be maintained if beautiful harmonic sounds are to take place. But without the authority of the principles of music, there can be no such thing as a beautiful melody. The same can be said of many walks of life: medicine, technology, manufacturing, human relationships, and so on. And the same is true in our relationship with our Creator. The Creator has authority over that which He created. The Creator understands what we need in order to live truly healthy and vital lives. Yet the psalmist writes, "The nations rage and plot against the Creator's authority." And this rebellion is very specific. The nations rebel against the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The nations throughout the world, for centuries, have been in agreement about one thing. They say, "We will not have Jesus Christ rule over us. We will not have it." We find that in Luke chapter 19, verse 14. So the psalm continues in verses 4 through 6 to give us a picture of the scene in heaven. Verse 4, "He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.'" So it's peaceful in heaven, while the nations rage against the authority of God on earth. The Almighty merely laughs at all the confusion. Today, God is speaking. He's speaking through his messengers who are expounding God's will, God's precepts, God's plan, God's authority from the scriptures, from the Bible. But if the nations will not listen, if they will not welcome God's grace, if they will not listen to God's call to trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, then as verse 5 says, "One day they will hear God speaking to them in his wrath and terrible judgment." If people will not accept God's judgment of sin at the cross and trust Christ as their Savior, then they will have to accept God's judgment of themselves in union with their own sin. Very likely there is someone listening to this message today who has not made the decision to live under the leadership and authority of Jesus Christ. My friend, you desperately want to be set free, as we all do. We all want to be set free from the things that limit us from experiencing freedom. Why don't you commit yourself to Jesus? You may say, "Oh, I've tried religion and it doesn't work for me." Well, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about your personal relationship with Jesus as the leader, the guide, the counselor of your life. You should know that God loves you. You should also know that God is calling you to join him in the thriving and thrilling experience of eternal life. God is calling you to turn from your sin, turn from God-belittling thoughts and actions, and turn towards Jesus. Ask Jesus to save you from your sins and to set you free and to live a new life with Christ as your leader. As the scriptures say, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, tomorrow we'll consider the second half of this psalm. We'll look at verses 7 through 12. But for now, let me pray for you. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us enough to send Jesus to die for our sins and to give us new life. Help each of us turn from raging against you and plotting against you. Help us, God, to turn away from fighting against your authority. Help us to love the authority you have over our life. God, there is someone listening today that is struggling in a relationship that is very important to them. Help them, God. God, I pray that you would pour out a good measure of your wisdom in that situation. Restrain words where they need to be restrained, and make it so that the truth is spoken in love. These things I pray in the great and mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for joining us at Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Join us tomorrow as we think at the intersection of Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.